This episode was recorded on the country of the Wadawurrung people. Their country is in Victoria and includes Ballarat, Geelong, Wyndham, Ararat, Melton, the Surf Coast and Queenscliff. Wadawurrung families have looked after and cared for this country for over 1,000 generations, and they're still caring for it to this very day. I would like to pay my respect to their ancestors and to elders past and present, and I would also like to pay my respect to the Maori people of Aotearoa, New Zealand. Welcome to Weekend Birder. I'm your host, Kirsty Costa. I recently went on a road trip to the Wimmera area of Western Victoria. As I pulled into the little town of Goroke, I was greeted by three huge grain silos. On each silo was a painting of a bird, a kookaburra, a galah, and a magpie. I got out to take a photo and noticed that the artist had signed his name, Jeffrey Curran. And guess who I invited onto the podcast? Jeffrey is here to share his love of birds with us.
Some of my earliest memories are engaging with bird life just in our backyard, and then growing up in New Zealand, the idea that New Zealand's ecological footprint was based on birds. There were no mammals apart from little bats. Yeah, and then the myths and legends and the stories that people told about each one of those birds set up a foundation for curiosity, I guess, and I carried on from there. I remember visiting a gannet colony on the East Coast and just being absolutely blown away by it and going home and just obsessively drawing gannets and finding source material and drawing gannets, and then that evolved into petrels and albatross and other seabirds. We used to go to across to a bird reserve, and we also had all these, it seems barbaric, but there was cages and cages of birds. There was like big avian centered and parklands down the road from our house, and we used to visit those all the time. I'm really interested in the kaka and the kia and the cockatoos that they had there. And the cockatoos were so exotic because they were Australian birds. And then I came across to Australia on a trip in 1988 and was blown away because we went to Queensland, and the first morning I woke up, there was just a cloud of rainbow lorikeets, and it was just so startling and amazing. I think it always stayed with me. Still love gannets. To this day, one of my favorite paintings is a pair of gannets I did nesting. That was actually a painting to celebrate the birth of my son. So yeah, I did a pair of gannets nesting for that one. For the birth of my daughter, I did a welcome swallow feeding its young. Lots of other origin stories connected to bird. And in New Zealand, we had the stories of Maui, who was a superhero who fished up the North Island. But he could also turn himself into a bird to transcend into other worlds. Like he went and stole fire off his grandmother in the underworld. But to do that, he turned himself into a kururu, or a wood pigeon. Just stories, the way people connect birds and stories together seamlessly. It's a way of describing the other or transcendence. Yeah, you can go across the horizon and things like that. So anything's possible.
Jeffrey completed his Masters of Fine Arts in 2008 after moving to Australia from New Zealand. Since then, he's dedicated most of his art practice to painting Australia's diverse range of birds.
I used to look at birds. They certainly used to present themselves as a motif that would be represented in New Zealand painting quite a lot. And then when I moved here, I forgot about all of that. And I just got blown away by all the diversity within species of plants. And I was actually working as a landscaper, and I did a lot with Australian plants. Certainly for every place, there's a specific species of Banksia or Grevillea growing there. And it's kind of like the same, but different. I looked at the birds and they were doing the same thing. And I was like, oh, well, I'll start looking at work that investigates identity and Australian identity. And so I started painting bird species as a foot in the door. And once I did that, there was no going back. It was the first time as an artist that I found a subject matter that gave me everything that I wanted visually, symbolically. I didn't have to start telling the story or inventing a narrative in my artwork anymore, because the artwork acted as a mirror and people would bring their own stories to it. And so I had this thing that was technically interesting to paint. And every time I painted something, I learned something new, a different technique or a different approach. Even within, if it's the same species, there's always a different pose. You can look at body, it's like portraiture, you look at body language. How do you want to tell the story of that bird? How do you bring it to life? So yeah, this was around 2010. I started really looking at birds as a subject matter. And it's just been constantly rolling since then and becoming more and more satisfying the more I do it, as opposed to getting fatigued of it or maybe sick of a subject matter. I'm actually diving deeper into it and getting more satisfied and more curious. The connections that you meet outside of that subject matter is really, really fascinating. You can tell a huge amount of stories by pulling in the bird life around an area that you're painting. For instance, if you're painting a mural and you're portraying what's there locally, people gravitate towards that. They take ownership of that and they start telling their own stories. So it's really just a method of extending storytelling.
Jeffrey's paintings, murals, and prints can be found in Australia, New York, Istanbul, and London. And he has a particular passion for painting public art in regional Australia.
Well, certainly the silos were a fascinating project in that it was based in the West Wimmera. It was just south of the Little Desert. And I thought I'd do some little bird species from the Little Desert. But then under community consultation, I had the carpet sort of ripped out under my feet there because I was like, I'm going to do these little birds and do them really, really big. And then everyone was like, no, how about doing kookaburras? And we need a magpie because there was in a town called Garok, and Garok was what Jabalik language for magpie, the local indigenous dialect. So the Garok literally translates to magpie. So we had to have that. And then the other one was a kookaburra. And even though it's on the south side of the Little Desert and it can be quite arid at times, it's also a super diverse wetlands all throughout that area. So the kingfisher is a nice representation of that. And so is the kookaburra. And the kookaburra is like the most robust of those birds. And it's iconically Australian. And the locals just loved that. So we went with that. And of course, then it was the challenge of painting it up at 16 to 18 meters per bird on a curved surface in the wind. It was the beginning of La Nina. I got on site and we had hail and 100 mils of rain and it bogged and then right to the other end of the spectrum of 40 degrees. But that's what you get when you paint outside. And the whole time the community were just so on board and so enthusiastic and excited to see this all happen. And that's what I find no matter where you do it. When you start painting murals and taking bird life that people identify with, they really do take ownership of it and it becomes an exciting and engaging process for everyone.
I've put a link in the show notes to Jeffrey's website so you can see what the silos in Garok look like. You'll also see a short film about the project, which is definitely worth watching. Painting public art has taught Jeffrey a lot about people's relationships with birds.
Everyone's got a story about them, and you start painting one bird and then it doesn't matter what that is, they'll start telling you about another one or their special relationship to a bird. It's really fascinating how deep that runs. There's like a collective nostalgia about birds in this country, and not even nostalgia, it's active and vibrant culture. I didn't know that almost everyone identifies with it. Someone's gone camping and had their sandwich stolen by a kookaburra. Someone's watched a black-shouldered kite come down and steal a rabbit or something in front of them. They've all seen it and they'll get really excited to tell you these stories. Even if they don't tell their friends about it, if they see you painting a bird, you're like a safe space for them. It just sort of opens the door to all these stories, shared experiences, including ones of people where they believe their loved ones have come back to visit them in the form of a bird. That seems really prevalent, actually. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then by the sixth or seventh time I'd heard that someone telling me that story, I was like, oh, this is a thing. Okay. Fascinating. And I think that's that transcendence of time and space. And it's a really lovely notion, actually.
One of the bird families that has captured Jeffrey's imagination is the kingfisher family. These birds are squat, colourful, perch and then pounce predators that have long, thick bills. There are 13 species in Australia, which includes both kingfishers and kookaburras. Jeffrey says that kingfishers don't feature heavily in his work, but he has a special place for them in his heart.
I certainly remember being so excited when I saw a kingfisher in our backyard as a kid. It was so unusual. And the way they are like little jewels in amongst the foliage, they just stand out so vividly. And they're statuesque because they just sit there and with their beak sort of pointing down, watching like motionless for so long, and then they're gone in a flash. To witness that or to see one, it seems like you've just seen something really special. And the fact that they're so brightly coloured in normally quite dark environments We also had fish growing up, so there was always a bit of alarm about that. It's like, are they going to steal our fish? When I was up in the Tablelands in Queensland, I remember seeing a whole lot of kingfishers that I'd never seen before, and that's always really exciting for me. I still get super excited when I see a species I hadn't seen before. They just seem like a unique sort of beautiful predatory creature.
The kingfisher that Jeffrey is talking about is the buff-breasted paradise kingfisher, and we'll talk more about it in the next episode. The most common kingfisher in Australia is the sacred kingfisher, which is found in wooded habitats or near rivers and lakes along the east coast of Australia, patches of Tasmania, and also in Indonesia and New Zealand. It is a smallish kingfisher with a large head and bill. You'll know it instantly when you see it, because it has this yellowish wash on its white chest, a black strip that runs through its eye and extends along its face, and the most amazing turquoise head, back, and wings. And we now know, after listening to Freya in episode 67, that these feathers aren't actually turquoise at all, but are structured in a way that reflects turquoise light. Like other kingfishers, the sacred kingfisher will quietly sit and wait for small reptiles, insects, or fish to pass by. It then pounces from its branch to grab its prey. The sacred kingfisher makes a kikiket call that sounds a bit like this. Other similar-looking kingfishers are the forest kingfisher and the collared kingfisher. The forest kingfisher has a white spot in the front of its eyes, while the sacred has a more buff-coloured spot. The collared kingfisher has a white chest, but not that yellowish wash, and it's also noticeably larger. If you haven't spent much time getting to know Australia's kingfishers, I highly recommend a flip through a bird book or app. The other members of the kingfisher family are the kookaburras, which Jeffrey has painted on the grain silos in Goroke and in the Godfrey Hirst mural on the GH Commercial Building in South Geelong. In the last Weekend Birder episode, Jack Pascoe told us that the Yuin people use the kookaburra as an alarm clock, as its call lets them know that dawn is approaching. This iconic Australian bird is the world's largest kingfisher, and is found on the east coast of Australia, Tasmania, and southern Western Australia. The first time you hear it, you almost jump out of your chair. The louder its call, the more it is communicating about its territory or bonding with its family group. Kookaburras are all about family. They live in cooperative groups, and other kookaburras will often help parents with their offspring. Even after a young kookaburra becomes independent, it might stick around to help defend territory and raise future chicks. There's another kookaburra in Australia that doesn't get as much of the spotlight, the blue-winged kookaburra. This kookaburra is found throughout northern Australia. It is smaller and looks quite different to the laughing kookaburra. It has a very striking white eye, a white head, a lot more blue on its wing, and a much larger bill. Its call is quite different too. Here are two birds singing at dawn. Blue-winged kookaburras can also mimic other birds in their territory, including butcher birds and the laughing kookaburra. So clever. And that's one of the things that Jeffrey loves about creating his art, learning new things about birds and connecting with them on a much deeper level.
It's like just a deep level of engagement or observation. I think that's what I like about it, just watching what the birds are doing. And in equal measure, I think they're watching what we're doing all the time. And I often find that when there's a bird photograph that I respond to, often it's not. If you look, he's like staring right down the lens of the camera. There we are hunting for them, looking to see if we can see them, that they already know we're there and what we're doing. So, or they're curious as to what we're doing and they'll come right up, depending on the species. I think it's just a really nice level of engagement in the natural world. And it is that connection. It's like making a personal connection to the broader environment. So that's what I do. I spend a lot of time looking. If I need a specific reference, there's like so many amazing bird photographers in this country that are far more talented, skilled than I will ever be with a camera. I like collaborating with them and seeing how they view the world through their photography. Some people really have a good eye for it, and they've spent a lot of time looking for those species, and they already filter by what they put out, what photos I'll actually publish or put out there. That's already gone through those filters of what do I want to say about the species, what's the unique body language, how does it look, what is it doing in the context that I took the photo. And then I'll take that, and sometimes I see something and I'll be directly inspired by that and say, I want to try to translate that and paint, or else I'll be like, there's another species and I don't think it's being represented how I want it. So I will freeform a little bit more artistic license.
Jeffrey also loves going birdwatching without the pressure of having to paint or draw them afterwards. He says that what makes the experience so special is the fleeting moments that you get to enjoy with the birds around you.
Interactions with bird life are always like they're momentary. They're such frenetic things. They're always on the go, guarding their territory, finding food. We've got fledgling carawongs here at the moment. The parents will come up. They're familiar with us, and they'll actually come and sit right beside us and then dart off, catch a spider, come back, and then show off that wattle bird over there. And they're always on the go, but they still take time to check in. I love those interactions. And everywhere is unique. And everywhere, and certainly within Australia, it all presents a new wealth of information and experience everywhere you go. I can't wait to go back up to Kakadu. That place blew my mind. And the bird life up there is just full on, and everything's out to get you up there. Like, yeah, no mosquito nets small enough to keep the midges out. That's all part of it. Yeah, even traveling the world, I'm always looking up on bird species. Like, it was quite bizarre. I remember like going to India, and just there were hawks as thick as starlings, you know, they were everywhere. And that was quite a crazy experience, just like looking up and going, oh my God, there's like literally hundreds of hawks just everywhere. I think it's also finding just places that other people can engage in them and sharing those experiences. That's what keeps it interesting and unique for me, because I love storytelling and other people's take on it. And it's just a really nice way to sort of, through nature and birds, like, we find out a bit about our humanity.
Links to Jeffrey's website and social media accounts are in the show notes. Highly recommend a visit to see his amazing murals and canvas artworks. Thanks for coming on the show, Jeffrey. So grateful that we all got to spend this time together thinking about our shared love of birds. And many thanks to Mark Anderson for gifting us his bird recordings. You can find him at wildambience.com. In the next episode, you're going to meet a passionate 11-year-old birdwatcher who has studied his bird books and knows heaps about birds. Speak to you then.